Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The most important decision is the one where Kirby has been the most different. It is The Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. How are y'all today? Y'all know what we do on Tuesdays. We talk with Dave Bartu. Dave Bartu is college football matrix. He is the go-between. He is the guy who links up players and coaches and assistant coaches and head coaches and coordinators and athletic directors and boosters and you name it. If you're involved in college football and you are either looking for a new place to work or a new person to hire or a new program to transfer to, if you're an agent, he works with agents, so just love having Dave come on. That's bottom of the hour. We got guests the rest of the day as well. It's a Tuesday. I said that in all but the most important decision, Kirby and Saban been right side by side. And the most important decision is who your quarterback is. There is so much about what Kirby Smart has done since he was hired in Athens. That would have been, what, Dan? December of 15?
Coming out of the 15 season, yes. 16 was his first year.
So when he was hired now almost six calendar years ago, since that moment, we have looked at Kirby Smart, and sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes, and like you don't even have to say it, sometimes it's appropriate to make the point. Sometimes we're just being lazy, or we have gotten caught up in habit. Anything good about Kirby, the Georgia program, any accomplishment is, well, you know, he learned from the best. Nick Saban only coaches one team, guys. He coaches the team in Tuscaloosa. But everything positive about Kirby, it's like we're going to give him 0.79% credit, and Kirby, Nick gets the other 0.21%. That's what we're going to do. And it really shouldn't be that way. Now, if you want to acknowledge, like I said, there are times it's obvious. And if he runs an odd front with a bunch of cover one, and it's not just a 3-4, it's like Saban's 3-4, which that's not even what Saban runs anymore. But you could look back in 2016 and like, why did he want Mo Smith? Because Mo Smith, hand in a glove, pages in a letter, folks, for what Kirby wanted to do back there. And Nick Saban, I don't know if he ever came out and said this, but if he would have said it, and again, I got no dog in this fight between Alabama and Georgia. I don't care. I didn't care back in the day. I was like, Mo Smith, I hope he plays somewhere. But if Nick Saban was thinking, I can't have a guy who just left my staff go poach a player because Kirby coached secondary at Alabama. And he's changing the defense. And what would, if you just had a blank slate and you could pick one player, just like the profile of a player, when you're new to a program and you're putting in your defense, what is the position that you would choose? Edge rusher with 11 sacks. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying the profile, like describe the kid, not like, you know, necessarily what he does. How about a fifth-year senior who plays a hybrid position in the secondary and can make all the calls? That checks like 17 boxes for me. And checked him for Kirby, too. So there are times when you can look at it and go, yeah, that's obvious.
Well, Kirby, running the Bama 3-4, but don't even say it. If there was something in particular out of all the options for whatever, whether it was recruiting or pregame meal, if there's something where there's several options and Kirby makes one, maybe it's appropriate to say, well, that was inspired by his time. We went 15 steps past that. Anything good? Well, he did learn from Saban. Anything bad? Dang, Kirby, you learned from Saban. So that's where we sit after 16, 17, 18, 19, five full seasons with Kirby Smart as head coach and having done everything except win a national championship. And to make that many comparisons, and I'm talking me, media, fan, dude on TV, whoever, or lady, Beth Mullins, to make the comparison that often, that means there's got to be a whole lot of really close similarities, or at least ones we're assigning. Well, there are also some differences. And with Kirby and Saban, the biggest difference the past five seasons is Saban has absolutely hit the end of the rainbow. I mean, with virtually every quarterback decision he's made, whether it's out of the gate, start the season, whether it's Tua coming in for Jalen, whether it's Jalen coming in for Tua, whether it was Mac Jones coming in after Tua left with injury instead of, and I don't know, was it, who would have been the other choices maybe? Was it Paul Tyson and Lil Tua? So maybe there weren't a whole lot of choices there, but you could have lined someone else up at quarterback and you went to Mac Jones for four games. I say that those four games at the end of the 19th season somehow contributed to the 13-0 record that Alabama had this past year. I think those four games contributed to Mac Jones being a Heisman Trophy finalist. So there were other choices, but Saban didn't make the other choices. Well, that was obvious. He had to take Mac Jones. No, he didn't. And I'm just talking for the four games at the end of the 19th season. For 2020, he could have said, pandemic, backdrop, excuse, kid, get in there. I'm just, as I'm saying those words and assigning them to Nick Saban, I want to use to say, like, go back 11 seconds ago. Like, use that Men in Black thing, all right? I can't believe I put those words on Nick Saban. Oh, it's okay if we lose. We'll play the freshman. We'll have an excuse to lose. Well, whatever it is, he didn't play the freshman. So I even give him credit for last year. Virtually every quarterback decision, and it's across, I mean, including a once-in-a-century situation. Whether it's spring, whether it's fall camp, whether, and I'm talking, folks, again, since Kirby went to Georgia and started making his decisions, you line them up, it could be August, it could be the middle of the season, it could be halftime of a national championship game, it could be the fourth quarter of an SEC title game. Every decision he's made regarding the quarterback since Kirby has been in Athens, everyone that Saban's made, everyone has been spot on. Two national championships. Kirby has made reasonable, completely defendable decisions about quarterbacks, and those decisions have been part of a good deal of success. That's what I can say. Nick Saban chose A, B, C, D, E, and F. Whether it was off-season, in-season, during an SEC title game, at the national, whatever, all these different scenarios, he made a quarterback decision five times. The sum of his five quarterback decisions are two national championships. The sum of Kirby's decisions, a whole lot of wins. We were talking little JT Daniels yesterday. And there is no choice, by the way. And, you know, even last year, I don't believe there was a choice at the beginning of the season outside of Stetson Bennett and DeJuan Mathis. And he chose DeJuan Mathis, and that was the wrong choice. And he said so halfway through the open. What was the middle of the second quarter? Hey, DeJuan, you know, stand with me. DeJuan Mathis now at Temple. So DeJuan Mathis was picked in the offseason. When I say Kirby, he's not the offensive coordinator. He's not the quarterback's coach. He doesn't call plays on that side. I know all that. I swear I do. He's the head coach. If there's a guy he wants to be quarterback, that guy's going to be quarterback. If there's somebody he looks at and says, doesn't get it, not a leader, bad, you know, whatever it is. Same sort of thing. Kid may not even be in the program. So, yes, whoever the starting quarterback is, I am assigning that to Kirby's decision. And even last year, DeJuan Mathis, they told you, oh, wrong choice. Now, it wasn't wrong choice because you should have started JT Daniels. JT Daniels, his knee didn't work. He wasn't eligible. He wasn't clear. Well, I say he's eligible. He passed all his classes and all that. He wasn't eligible to be included in the conversation. He couldn't play, not against live competition. Like, you can't walk over, I don't know, to Auburn and say, hey, he's wearing a green jersey. Y'all good with that? Can't do that. So, of the choice he had to make, there were only two. Coin flip. And it wasn't the right choice. We were talking JT Daniels yesterday, and there is no choice to make this fall. We know what this is. The choice is, all right, what are we going to do with JT Daniels? And the question, what do the final four games of the 2020 season mean? Is it still the overall approach of we only throw the ball a lot, and I'll say like 30 times a game, we only throw the ball a lot, more than 30 pass attempts in a game when we're losing and as a reaction? Or we throw the ball because we're going to drop a hammer on somebody today and we know we can get behind them. And we're going to flip the field. We're not going to throw a bunch of 8 and 12-yard passes. We're going to go from first and 10, our own 25, to this may be flipping the field inside the red zone, other side. So you've got a mentality you can choose. And again, up to this point, his choices hadn't really worked out.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It's not about brick and mortar. It's not about fancy car shows, or it's not about the glitz. It's about making a sound business decision, because they've already been through that, and that's kind of worn off.
Brian Kelly, head coach at Notre Dame. What's he talking about? Well, he's talking about getting transfers into the program, and a particular brand of transfer, the grad transfer, into the program. And that's way different, certainly, than the seven. And what he's talking about there, he says, it's not about the bricks and mortar. He says they've already kind of done all that. They're after some facts. When you're 16, 17, 18, and you're going on visits, oh, my goodness, it's all shiny and bright and sparkly. And look at the pretty girl. When you are a transfer, well, obviously something swayed you to pick either Toledo or Texas the first go-around. And so you probably have different standards in that case. If you're a grad transfer, I got to be honest. You don't want to, like, have to have halftime in the corner of the end zone like you did in high school. Anybody who played high school football, you had at least one road game a year, if not all of them. Some of you had home games. Where was halftime? Corner of the end zone. All right, you don't want that. But you're not really about the facilities. And by the way, Notre Dame, fantastic. Great facilities. Stadium, fan base, setting, my gosh, all of it. And Notre Dame just got a grad transfer in Kane Madden. He's the kid from Marshall, the offensive lineman that I'd talked about, All-American from Marshall. Former walk-on, All-American offensive lineman at Marshall. You know how you do that? Spend a lot of time in a weight room in Huntington, West Virginia, because you look around and you go, okay, I'll go back to the weight room some more now. And you turn your, and you're smart and you work hard. And so that's what Kane Madden did. And so now he's on his way to Ohio State. To Notre Dame. Well, it could have been Ohio State, could have been anywhere, going to Notre Dame, for gosh sakes. He jumped into the portal as a grad transfer. And it was like a week ago. And I was like, this ain't going to last long. Because he's smart, he's old, he's good, and he's strong. And the final thing is, every coach, if you have one scholarship left and you're in the portal, man, you are looking for an offensive lineman. And so what Brian Kelly is saying there is exactly spot on. This guy was not looking for a typical recruiting trip. He didn't want the pretty girl to walking past the lake and then show him the library. He said, I'm going to come here to work. Business decision. I'm going to show up and work and help Notre Dame. And what are you going to do for me? That's a pretty frank conversation. And Brian Kelly's like, all right, young man, let's have it. So they got him an offensive lineman. And like I said, old man joining them. So good for the Irish. What up, Dan?
You'd say that Kane Madden is basically like Michael Corleone once he gets to Vegas. And Fredo opens the door and tries to do the, for he's a jolly good fellow. And he says, get everybody out.
I swear, I would have expected 100,000 examples before that, but it does hold.
It does.
It does hold.
It does, where it's just, hey, I don't need the showgirls. Yes. I don't need Mo Green. I don't need everybody.
I don't need chips for everybody.
Yeah, I don't need you playing for he's a jolly good fellow. Everybody get out. All right, so we got that example in, so we've done our jobs today. Chuck, it's funny that this conversation always comes up whenever Nick Saban and contract come up, and that is his impact. Are we aware that if college football were not played last year, the impact on Tuscaloosa would have been $2 billion had they not been able to play a college football Saturday there. And now it was pared down quite a bit. And I'm sure that the businesses across the board did see somewhat of a deficit from the years past, because you didn't have full restaurants and bars and shops and everything that you normally would have on a Saturday afternoon in Tuscaloosa.
$2
billion? $2 billion is what it would have been. And granted, as well, in the past, we have seen the tuition increases that go with along with the capacity of the student body there in Tuscaloosa, as well as the donations that have come in, the revenue that has been made. Chuck, with his base salary of $8.4 million, you pair it up against Dabo. You pair it up against Jim Harbaugh, who is making more than him right now at Michigan. It's one of those things that you wonder, and people look at Jimmy Sexton and say, Jimmy, how are you not getting your guy more? I think that it's Nick Saban saying, look, I think that I can – you don't have to pay me so much more for me to do a better job. Give me enough where we can still be a viable program, more than viable, be an outstanding program, but also, too, give me enough where I can go to said assistant coach when the inevitable thing does happen and I don't have to go to Greg Byrne for him to say, well, Nick, we only have this much to pay this guy, whereas, in fact, he can go to them and say, hey, it takes $1.5 million. They'll tell him, give him $1.6 million.
Yeah, money's not an issue for him in any way, and he's not leaving money on the table. He's not giving money back. He's being paid $8.5 or $8.4, whatever it is. And I don't want to say like on the books, like it's, you know, under the table or anything. But that's the coaching money. There's a lot more when you're the head coach anywhere, but especially in the SEC, especially at Alabama, especially with, I don't know, 137 national championships. So, money is not an issue for anybody with that program.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family-owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And I got my first cell phone, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. I got an iPhone over the weekend for the first time ever. I think it's like my fifth phone in 21 years. I'm a little bit like, if you ever saw a Space Odyssey 2001, I'm a little bit like those monkeys at the beginning of it with this iPhone. I can't even figure out how to turn it off right now. And my contacts, my previous phone is so old that I got a text message from AT&T saying your 3G phone will no longer, you have to get a new phone now. So I broke down, got the iPhone, but my contacts won't transfer. And so anybody listening, if you know me and have my number, if you text me, put your name on it. And there's a chance if I text you back, Dan is telling me it comes from my personal email account somehow. Whatever. So if you're out there, that's what's going on, including our next guest, because we text a little bit, but I hadn't in the past couple days. I want to welcome on from College Football Matrix. He is College Football Matrix, my good friend, Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you on this Tuesday?
I'm doing good, dude. Fight the technology, man. I'm on my fourth phone ever. I hear you.
Thank you.
I feel you.
Here's my pattern. I will walk into either a Best Buy or whatever, and I hear people say, oh, I got a brand new iPhone. It's only $12 a month. And then immediately my brain says $144 a year, and if I leave it for 7 years, that means I was like, just buy the phone. So I walked into Best Buy about 5 years ago, and I said, I want the oldest phone you have that is still new in the box. And I got a phone for $19. And I used it for 5 years, and I was perfectly fine with it. Well, I had to get a new phone, and so I have no contacts now. None. They won't transfer.
That's brutal. Well, yeah. I'll text you my number, buddy.
Okay,
it's,
do
it's
that.
Pretty easy.
And I'll see you coming in. Tell everybody also, before you text me, tell everybody, I said College Football Matrix, tell everybody, you know, who you are, what you do.
And if anybody wants my number, right?
Yeah, exactly.
503-504-8710. It's great because I would say in the last 3 weeks since we've been having fun giving the number out, I've gotten, I think, pretty close to 24 texts from listeners out there. Just your listeners saying thanks, love to hear you on the Chuck Oliver
awesome.
Show. Then they'll ask me a football question. So everybody listening that has texted me, I love it. Keep it coming. Anybody that wants to text me, dude, I'll talk college football with anybody. I just love to spread the news.
Okay, but when you're on the payroll, when you're being hired, when you're consulting, it can be NFL, it can be coaches, it can be agents. Tell everybody, just give us the flyover of what you do.
Yeah, I tell stories with numbers for people that want to pay to find an edge. That's really the bottom line. So, you know, we just take numbers in whatever walk of life they are, whether it's an athletic director, whether it's head coach, director of football ops, agents. Had a meeting yesterday with a major sporting good apparel company talking about using analytics to target diamonds in the rough for athletics, finding the guys before they're good kind of thing. So it just never ends because life is a story with numbers, and that's simply what I try to boil it down to.
All right, well, let's give people who are listening, including, I mean, Dave's told us before, oh, yeah, remember the Board of Regents called about fundraising? A sitting head coach in the SEC called him, so that's why he gives the number out. So anybody listening, you want him, you got the number. Let's give people an example of some of the things that are your expertise. Greg Schiano hired at Rutgers. I immediately knew, well, they're going to be better. Now, here's what I don't know. Playing in the Big East or competing against South Florida, you know, 12, 13 years ago, that's one thing. This is the Big Ten. And his path to success previously in New Jersey, I think he's taken the same path. I mean, the early indications look, you know, same sort of recruiting, et cetera, et cetera. Give me what your expectation was when he got hired and if you've adjusted that now that he's been on the job a minute.
Really haven't adjusted anything. When he got hired, and it didn't matter where he went, the nice thing going back to Rutgers, a lot of familiarity there. The bottom line of Rutgers, he was a really good recruiter. That's what turned it around for him. He wasn't really that great of a game coach. You know, people say, well, look at the record, look at the record. You know, he recruited so well, he actually underperformed the talent when it was there. But the recruiting arc was so high and profound that a lot of people said, well, it was just great coaching. I would say it was really great recruiting and at best average coaching. And with Rutgers, and a lot of people don't realize this, at the peak, Schiano had Rutgers recruiting in the 30s and 40s in terms of classes, which, you know, in the Big Ten is middle of the road. Middle of the road.
Yeah.
It's not like Illinois, you know, it's not bottom of the bucket recruiting. Rutgers has had some good recruiting years, and Schiano is a very, very good recruiter. I think what's lost in all of this, two things. Number one, we had a COVID year, so it's really hard to put a measuring stick on anybody. But I also really liked his offensive and defensive coordinator hires. Watch out for the Rutgers offense. I like their OC, and I expect Rutgers to keep getting better. Even if the coaching is average, I think they're going to keep getting better because he's going to keep recruiting better at Rutgers.
Now, all right, well, you talk about Sean Gleason, the OC there, and his background was like 15 minutes at Oklahoma State, and before that he's Ivy League. And even lower division below, and I'm not, you know, being necessarily disrespectful, I'm just saying even lower, it's fairly Dickinson. How do you process, when you're looking at a guy like Sean Gleason, how do you process when the majority of his resume is at the level of Fairleigh Dickinson and then Ivy League?
Right. So you're talking FCS level to FBS level. That's really the question, right? The simplest way that I can put it, how we see it, here's your 10,000-foot look at it, is a full grade. We grade everybody, you know, F through A. And if you're an AOC in the FCS, you should be a BOC in the FBS. So it's just one grade down. Now, a B coordinator in the FCS level is really good because we're not talking about active coordinators. We're talking about everybody over the last 15 years that we've graded. You know, so you're talking about top 25 to 40th percentile if you have a B grade. So which is obviously better than a ton of guys out there. It's just that there's a stigma attached to, oh, am I going to get somebody out of the FCS? I would rather take an A-grade guy with a potential out of FCS than your BC guy already in the FBS.
Okay, a guy where there's still the blue sky, at least the potential, where the indicators are, and let's see how this plays out.
Right. I mean, that's what we're trying to do when we make a hire.
Yeah.
Okay. There's acquisition risk. You are trying to get the highest floor and the highest ceiling. That's what we're really looking for. So the bad year is still good, and then we're looking for that year that goes, oh my God, wow, he had a great year. Because you're not going to be great every single year unless you have super elite talent. So that's what we're always trying to do. So when you get a guy that is, let's say, like Gleason, who's been calling plays for a while at a lower level, how good was it? If it's A-level, A-plus level play calling, then he has a chance of transferring that into the FBS. But you also go, well, most of the guys that do that, worst-case scenario, you're looking at a B-minus play caller. That's still really good.
You know, you and I talk about marriages sometimes, and I had identified, I was like, Paul Johnson and Georgia Tech, I think, was the perfect example. Tech probably wasn't going to get a better coach, and Paul probably wasn't going to get a bigger, you know, program with a better chance to really win. You know, so there are marriages out there. And given who Rutgers – like if Urban Meyer was on the market and Rutgers hired you, I don't think that you would suggest Urban Meyer to Rutgers, even though he would clearly be the best choice. How do you know – like the ceiling, like the top of the list, as far up the list as you can realistically go?
you know something? Well, the first thing you got to start with is how much money do you got? That's your first thing, right? I mean, if you got $1.7 million, is Urban Meyer going to take your phone call? even if he's your alma mater, he's not taking that phone call.
No, but the head coach at Southern Miss will if he's making $900,000.
Exactly. So you have to look. We always start with two things. So, for example, like when an AD says, hey, I need to go target new head coaches, who's the top 10 on the list? And the first question is always, how much money do you want to spend? What's your range? What's your peak? What's your valley? So let's frame this up. And then you've got to look at the brand, because there's a certain value in how much you're going to pay these guys, and there's a certain value in the brand, right? Going to Rutgers versus going to Michigan State versus going to Michigan versus Penn State, Ohio State, the brand changes every single time, even if the money is the same. So we look at it from the standpoint of what are the best guys that are going to be able to fit, how much you can spend, and how we rank the brand in terms of overall, I don't know what word you want to use, you know, popularity, you know, the profile of that brand. So
yeah, how attainable is that coach for this brand?
Exactly. So our Urban Meyer, yeah, for Rutgers, who's, let's say, willing to pay $3.5 million a year.
Not attainable.
No, it's not. If Florida is willing to pay $10 million a year, Urban probably is going to take their phone call.
Can I ask you real quick before we take a break, how often do you have to tell an athletic director or whoever, dude, you're overplaying your hand? That's not who you are. You're going to waste your time on this.
No, I would never advise that. See, that's the one thing is we present the information to athletic directors, but we don't even – so when we give them a top 10 list, we don't even rank these guys. Okay, we don't go, this is R1 through 10.
Now, okay, so if Rutgers hires you, you would never put Urban on that list? Because I'm asking, like, if the AD or the school president says, by God, we're calling Urban Meyer, somebody needs to tell him that ain't happening.
Well, if they want to make the call, that's fine. You know, I mean, you know, you hit 0% of the pitches you don't swing at, right? So it's okay to make that phone call. But is that somebody we would put on there as a realistic option? No. But we don't tell – we never tell a client what to do. We present the information and allow them to follow up. So like I said, when we give them 1 through 10, they're not even ranked. But I don't even want the client thinking, Dave and Adam have this guy number one, so what am I missing here? Nope. Just ask questions. Now if they come back and say, who's the number one guy? Okay, fine. You know, I'll give the opinion, but – I never felt our job is one to tell these guys what to do, more so than giving them information and empowering them to do things beyond their normal scope.
This is Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix, and we're going to take a quick break. Come back and continue with Dave on a Tuesday next.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday, back with my good friend Dave Bartu. He is College Football Matrix advisor too, and then you can fill in the blank with everybody from agents to coaches to ADs, football ops folks, whatever. That's what Dave does at CFB Matrix on Twitter. If you want to get in touch, know more about Dave and what his company does, it's at CFB Matrix. Dave, I want to ask you about the reverse of something you just mentioned, that if you've been an A-plus play caller at FCS, you know, I'm going to drop you a grade as a preview, as a possible, as a likely for the move up to FBS. What if it goes in reverse? Like, if you DeLorean back 15 years ago and Nebraska just fired Frank Solich, I mean, if the Ohio Bobcats are working with Dave Bartow, do you just hire him? Hire him. Hire him. Like, if Liberty asked you about Hugh Freeze, hire him. I mean, when you're kind of, what, you know, fighting down in competition, is it an automatic hire if the guy had sustainable success at the FBS level?
Right. It's kind of like a no-brainer. How'd this guy fall into our lap? You know, circumstances that kind of went outside the norms, and you just get lucky. You know, you actually had a job opening, and that guy was right there at that time. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, we've seen it. We see it every year. Maybe not every year. You know, every couple of years where that job has an opening and suddenly the guy who probably wouldn't be there is suddenly there, you know. Now, I'm a little bit surprised from the Frank Solich standpoint in that he's still around because he's done an excellent job with Ohio.
Oh, you he know, could have – like Jim McElwain, you're right. Jim McElwain is coaching in the MAC so he can bounce back into Division I, I mean into FBS. Absolutely right.
Right, that's a stepping stone, and we've talked about this on the program, is every guy out there in college football that's been a head coach wants to be a head coach again, almost all of them. You know, there's some rare exceptions where the guys got there and go, oh, I'm not very good at this, and it's kind of a crappy job. I will go back to being an OC or DC forever, making $2 million in the SEC. That's cool with me. I don't want the pressure. But for the most part, every one of these guys is trying to figure out a way to become a head coach. And then when they become a head coach again, if they were one before, they're trying to figure out a way how to get to a higher up program. So, you know, maybe Ohio just got lucky right there. You know, they had the guy available and he's been awesome for them. He really has. Recruiting's been consistent, obviously winning football games, playing efficient football, but he never left. And I don't know if that's a age thing, which nobody would ever talk about or acknowledge, obviously, or he's just happy to be there. He took his shot at Nebraska, and this is a much easier, much less pressure job.
I don't know if you have heard the name Tillman Fertitta. Do you know him?
Nope.
Now, he owns a bunch of restaurants and the Houston Rockets. So he's got billions with a B, and he's a University of Houston grad. And he decided he wanted himself a new football coach a couple of years ago. At least that's my understanding, is the guy, you know, the alum worth $5 billion said, I want Dana Holgorsen. Even if you got a lot of millions, you want more for your $8 million that you paid Dana Holgorsen so far. What would have been your preview if I asked you, hey, how do you think this is going to work? And what is your assessment of Dana Holgorsen after two seasons, including whatever you asterisk you put on 2020?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would have just said is, you know, well, why didn't you hire us to at least give you some due diligence? If you got that kind of money, there's like one AD told me, Chuck, is I can afford to have too much information. I can't afford to not have enough. So Holgorsen, look, before Houston, before any of that stuff, Dana Holgorsen at West Virginia was a minus one game coach for his career. Okay. And he was actually really consistent, which, and minus one game coach means that each year, whatever he was projected to win based on his talent and where the games were played, he was one game below expectations almost every single year without fail. It didn't matter if he had Geno Smith. It didn't matter if he had Greer. It didn't matter anything. His only actually positive year was with Greer. That's it. The rest of his history at West Virginia was negative. This is one of those guys that's brilliant offensive mind, not a very good head coach. So I feel from day one when I heard that Houston was going after this guy, I just giggled. I just laughed because he didn't do anything good at West Virginia. And in fact, his recruiting was so bad at West Virginia. West Virginia's recruiting the day he left was in its worst spot in the last 15 years. The worst since they went into the Power Five. So Holgorsen, he is consistently, wonderfully below average at everything.
I want to ask you about a last guy I want to ask you about. I don't even know if you've maybe got his dossier ready yet, but a guy we talked about at the end of the regular season. If someone calls you and asks you about Doc Holliday, obviously it depends on the program, but if somebody says, Dave Bartu, tell me about Doc Holliday, what's your opinion?
The most shocking firing I've seen in the last 20 years.
Well, when the governor decides you're out, you're out.
I still, that's one of those things that I still can't believe. I still can't believe it. You know, I mean, it's like being a Duck fan and waking up and going, Willie Taggart's a new head coach. No, this is a bad dream. This is not happening. You know, and I still can't get over that Holliday got dismissed in favor of a guy who has never been a head coach for a second.
He was coach, he was Conference USA Coach of the Year in 2020. Like he got the award on a Thursday and he got fired on Tuesday.
Oh, and then one of his coordinators was it Grimes that ended up at Purdue. So there's another great. It's just oh my gosh, you want to talk about? I thought East Carolina couldn't do any worse. When they made their head coaching change, this was the most amazing one. Now with Doc, is it a Solich thing? You know, I know no.
He doesn't strike me as antsy. He strikes me as a guy. Yeah, like if you get hired, he could be Rick Stockstill at Middle Tennessee State. He could stay there 12, 15 years. He's not an antsy guy.
Okay, because how old is Doc?
Oh, I mean, I hate early 60s.
Early 60s. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, we're not supposed to talk about those things, at least with hiring and firings, right?
No,
but
we're not.
It's life. It's life. You and I are old. It's not easy to go get a job if we don't have this stuff, right? So, but Doc Holliday has had some fantastic years. What I like most, I think, about Doc Holliday is his ability to hire good coordinators. He does have a good eye for other football coaches. I like his coaching tree. I'm actually amazed he doesn't have a job right now, something better than what he's doing right now. And maybe we just needed a year.
Yeah.
You know, 2020 is a wonky year. But I'd go get him. Somebody has to go get his brain.
When I was doing Conference USA games, and I can't say I got to know him. I mean, we never went out and got wings or anything. But when I would talk to him, I'm going to tell you, when you put together that dossier or you add to it or whatever, do a deep dive specifically on how many kids from like Fort Lauderdale and Miami he convinced to go to Huntington, West Virginia. He recruited Florida, man. He did a great job of it. Dave, we got to run, brother. Do it again in 7 days.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dave Bartu again. He is College Football Matrix. Man, Doc Holliday, he would go down into Florida. And again, Huntington, West Virginia, it's a great place to live and work and root for a football team and everything, and the basketball team, whatever. But when you've been running around Belgrade or Carroll City or Miami, Huntington, West Virginia it's not the most cosmopolitan locale in the world. And class after class, he would get Florida kids to go up there. And I mean, like, really, like Rakeem Cato, I think, that record-setting quarterback who, like, two people have heard listening right now know. But Rakeem Cato, I think Tommy Shuler as well. So just a great job. And that's going to be part of what gets Doc Holliday hired at, I believe, even a better job than Marshall.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at atlantaramjack.com.